All right, we're going to get started. You probably have seen these. I hope everyone has one. There's one book in English, and there's another with the Chinese translation. So grab one of those if you don't already have it. And there's also pins on that table if anyone needs a pin to write with. All right, after I share, we're going to break up into what's called table talk, and that's in your book. And so there's some discussion questions that we'll have to go over together with your table. Okay, well, we'll get started. And first, I just want to just give credit to the founder of Birds on a Wire and MomCore, Karen Stubbs. She is actually where we got our workbook curriculum from, and they graciously allowed us to use it for our next 6 weeks together. And however, we are going to do our own teachings. We decided to do our own teachings so that way you could get to know us better. And there's going to be four of us teaching. I will teach this first session, and then we'll kind of rotate. So my name is Vicki Moon, and my husband is the senior pastor of Refuge Fellowship. That's the church here. And I am a mother of four wonderful children. Here's the latest picture of us and our family. My son is, my husband's back there, by the way. But my son is 21. He's at university right now in America. My oldest daughter, all the way to that way, depending what way you're facing, that's Jocelyn, and she's 19. She's also at university in America. My next daughter is Juliana. She is going to be 15. And then our youngest, Genevieve, is going to be 13. So those are my children. That's my family. And the speakers over the next 6 weeks, Dana is, she's here today. Dana's one of the speakers, and she has four children. And Katie is another speaker. Katie and Nikki are two of our speakers. They're not here today. They're traveling. But Katie is a mother of seven, and Nikki is a mother of three. And all of our children, our ages range, so you'll get like a good perspective of different, how our different households operate and whatnot, and a variety with that. But all of these ladies are the wives of the elders here, and so we just wanted to give you guys a chance to get to know them. So today, we are going to talk about our purpose. And in the beginning of these books, oh, I wanted to show you one more picture. This is a picture of my kids after we had our youngest. So that way you have you do see that there was another stage in life that I had. I did, have little babies, little kids, and so on. So, but in your book, at the first page of the table of contents, it goes over the topics we're going to be covering the next 6 weeks. Today, we'll be covering purpose. Next week will be boundaries. And then time management. Then the week after that, we changed the title of it. Instead of being a student of your child, we like to say, know your child. Okay? And then the following week, we'll cover discipline. And then the final week is contentment. So those are the topics. So then we'll start. Let's start, and I will pray. Father, thank you so much for this time together, Lord. We just pray for our time. We pray that you would lead us by the Holy Spirit. We pray for those online listening, Father, we pray for those here, and we pray for those that are still on their way, and those that are planning on coming later, Father. We just pray, Lord, that you would just bless all of these women, and that that you would draw us closer to you and strengthen our time as being moms. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to just jump right in, because right after I share, we'll do table time, okay? And so what we measure our purpose, how we measure that determines on how we see our purpose, how we see success in life. How we live reveals that. And so how do we measure success in life? Measuring success is easy in like most stages of life, because if we're at work and we think, oh, we did something good, you know, we accomplished something, we're successful. If we buy our education, you know, we went to school, we got this degree, okay, that's successful. We take on success as like our accomplishment in life. And a lot of times that's how we can measure our success, either by our career, education, even by our marriage. You know, sometimes we'll compare our marriage to someone else's marriage. Okay, mine's successful, theirs isn't. Or, oh, theirs is successful, mine's not. Okay? We tend to compare a lot. So once we have a child, we tend to think of them as our success. And we put our measure on our children of, okay, am I a successful mom by how my child is acting, or how smart my child is, or what they are doing. And we quickly find that that's not a good measure of success. Measuring our success based on our children is very challenging. I have an example of this. When I had Aaron Jr., I thought I was super mom. I thought, like, he was... I always wonder, why did people complain about little boys being difficult? And I didn't understand that. He was well-behaved. He obeyed. He was so sweet and just so loving. And he was just so wonderful. And I thought, oh, this is great. I can, like, have so many kids. Like, this motherhood thing is so easy. And then, you know, he did get into trouble. And I would spank him and discipline him. But he corrected so quickly, you know. And he was, if he got in trouble, he changed his way. Super easy. You know, I can look at him because he got to the point where he knew mom would spank him. So then certain times if he got in trouble, I'd look at him with a mom look, you know. And then he would, you know, apologize and fix his way. Like, super wonderful child, okay? By the age of 4, I had taught him how to read. I thought, because I homeschool. Okay, so I homeschool all my kids, and I thought, I am so good at this. Like, I am, like, the best mom. Like, my success meter was up here with my first child, okay? And I thought, I'm a super mom. Like, he can read. He's almost, like, writing. Like, he can write his name. He knows all of, like, everything, you know? And I get him around other kids, and I'm like, my son, you know? Well, then, you know what happened? My sweet little girl got bigger. And so Jocelyn, on the other hand, the Lord showed me very quickly humility. And I learned that my success should not be found in my children. Because everything I did with my son didn't work with my daughter. She had no interest in anything that I tried to show her. She only was interested in dolls, toys, playing, and glittery things. You know, she was very girly. So anything that sparkled, she would be like, whoop! Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. I couldn't teach her anything, and I thought, oh my goodness. So then I found out that I really didn't completely teach my son like I thought I did. And I actually had to learn how to teach. And I had to learn how to do a lot of things that came natural to my son that wasn't that way with my daughter. And I thought, oh, I'm really bad. I don't know if some of you have been here, but my daughter, I spent so many hours crying. Just thinking, this is so awful. This is horrible. She doesn't listen. She doesn't behave. She, like, I would spank her, or before spanking her, I'd say, do you want a spanking? And she'd look at me, and she'd say, yes. And I'm like, oh. So then, you know, I would discipline her, and I would leave, and I would just be crying and exhausted, like, oh, this is, there's no light at the end of the tunnel, you know? And so, funny story is I was telling my two oldest kids that I was going to be teaching a group of moms. So my daughter messaged me, my oldest daughter. She messaged me, and she said, hashtag, I am the success story. So it's a group message that my son and my daughter and I are on, right? So my son replies, okay, buddy, like, to his sister, like, calm down there. And so then I shared with them the story I just shared with you of Erin being super easy child and then her. And so then she messaged me back, and she said, Mom, you're so welcome for the reality check and the growth that I was able to provide. So, yeah, it's not a good idea to measure our success in our kids, because they are human. They make mistakes, and they are growing. So we need to not put our success there, okay? If you can look in your books, under the first day, week one, there is a scripture there, and it's up here too. It's Colossians 3:23-24. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. So this is the scripture for today, for our purpose. This is where we want to look to see where our measurements should be. Okay? Because if we are working for the Lord, we will find that purpose. If we are working for people, trying to measure our success to others or our children, we will always be disappointed. Okay? But if we are working for the Lord, we will not be disappointed. Okay? In your handout, it says the two key targets involve pleasing and perfecting. If you can just make a note on that first line where it says the first target focuses on pleasing God, if you can just make a note at the end of that, just write God. And then the second line down, it says perfecting behavior. Right next to that, man. Because those are the two differences. It's, are you aiming for God or are you aiming for man? Okay, and man could even be yourself. So just keep that in mind. So before having children, I had a career. I went to school. And so let's talk about who is the boss in our life. Who do we think of as boss? Prior to having children, I thought my boss was my boss at work. You know, I go to work, here's my boss. Some of you might say my boss is my husband. Some of you may have a problem saying that. We'll get there, you know, just pray about that. And some of you might say, my boss is me. I am my own boss, and I'm the one that's in charge. And some of you, you may not admit this, but others in your life might see this, that maybe your boss are your children. So just think about that too and pray about that. Because your children should not be the boss of you. So all of these are not true areas of who the boss is in our life. God is. And we serve Him first, and He should be the boss of our life in every area. And everything will run smoothly if that's the case. So I want to share a quote with you from Elizabeth Elliot. This job of motherhood has been given to me to do. Therefore, it is a gift. Therefore, it is a privilege. Therefore, it is an offering I make to God. Therefore, it is to be done gladly, if it is to be done for Him. Here, not somewhere else, I may learn God's way. In this job, not in some other, God looks for faithfulness. So let's ask ourselves a question, okay? Who are you? Who am I? First, I am the daughter of the Lord and King, the Savior Jesus Christ. Second, I'm a wife. Thirdly, I am a mother. After those three priorities, I have many roles, many titles, but none of them matter as much as those first three. And out of all of them, I find my purpose in the first one. I am the daughter of the King. This is so important to realize how precious and special each and every one of you are. And sometimes when we're moms and we get busy and we're going, we can forget that. And we can let everything happening around us weigh us down. And we can, at least for me, I am my own worst enemy. I am so hard on myself that I have to stop and remember that I am precious. And that's how God sees me. And that's how He wants me to see myself. And that's how He wants you to see you. So knowing the difference between, you know, serving God, serving men, and how does this work? How does this work in our lives with kids? How do we not measure our success in our kids? Okay, so how can we gauge this, okay? So we need to realize what we have control over and what we don't have control over. What we can control in our life and what we can influence. So I can control my attitude, I can control my perspective, and I can control myself and my words. Being in the Word, God's Word daily, this helps me. This helps me with my words, helps me with my daily control of things. There's a difference between controlling your child and disciplining your child. It's not the same. Okay, God gives each of us free will to choose. He doesn't control us. But He does discipline us for our good. And in the same way, we're not to control our children. We are to guide them, discipline them, love them. And this will help us to, when we're doing this, it will help us and our children, both of us, learning and growing at the same time. And so I'm going to give you some examples of what I can control and what you can control in your life. We can have good attitudes. We can do things without complaining and fussing. In our house, Philippians 2:14 was a verse that I always had the kids say over and over again. And so look up that verse, and it's encouraging. At least it was for me as a mom. We can have unconditional love for our kids when they mess up. And what we can choose to do is not throw in the towel, okay? So this is what throw in the towel is. When you've had a hard day or a frustrating moment and you're like, that's it. I'm done. Okay? We can choose not to do that. Okay, so this is why we can't do things on our own. Okay? We need God to do all those things. We need God in our life to be able to have a good attitude. Because without Him directing me and helping me, my attitude is not good. So we cannot be in control of our children's actions. Now I mentioned we can't control, but we can influence. So I'm going to give you some examples of how that looks, how we can influence our children. And I'm going to give you these examples that have an age range, so like from baby to adulthood. So babies, we can love them. That's usually pretty easy, right? We can talk to them and provide for them, because when they're babies, they need to know that your voice, they need to know your eyes. They need to know your touch. They need to know that you're taking care of them. Okay, in toddler age. Now, many people don't like this age. This is actually one of my favorite ages. Because, well, if you don't like this age, it probably means you haven't made it to the teenage years. But I love the toddler age. And this is why. This is the age where you get to discipline and train, okay? You get to go up to them and get down to their level. This means that instead of you always, like, doing things, sit down with them and play with them. Like, play cards, do a puzzle, play dolls. Take that time because it's so short. The season. So sit down, get with them eye to eye, talk to them. How you act in this age is a huge influence over them, because they're like sponges at this age. They're watching you like a mirror, and they want to see everything you do. They're watching your face, they're seeing every reaction. And sometimes you'll see it mirrored in them. You'll see your face on theirs, and it's a little weird when that happens sometimes. But I'm going to tell you a little story. So Sarahs and I don't usually get along. I've been doing good the last 10 years, but something was happening the first so many years of my life. Every time I walk downstairs, I will trip or fall or something. And so I had already had Jocelyn, so she was kind of a maybe one. I was walking down my stairs with Aaron Jr. in my hand, and he was about two, okay? So I'm walking down the stairs, we're getting ready to leave the house, and all of a sudden, I go down, okay? And I have him in my arms, and you know when sometimes you just fall and it just hurts and you just slam straight down? This was not the case. This was one of those situations where I was going, and all of a sudden, my legs went up, okay? And when I went down, it was on this part, and it was at the top of the stairs, and then it went boom, 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 like all the way down, right? So he's on me, and it's like, and then, so as that was happening, I was creating speed, okay? So then it was like faster, 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 faster. And then when I hit the bottom, it was like, whoosh, like, so then we slid across and went right into the wall, right? And I had him the whole time And his eyes were like this big, right, looking straight at me. And I looked down at him, and I was like, yay, I'm so fun! And I just started laughing, and he was like, and then he just started laughing. And he was like, you so fun! And I wanted to cry so bad. I was in pain. But I knew that my reaction was going to cause his reaction. So that's an example. And another example of influence at that age that I loved to do everything with my kids. So when I was doing laundry, I would have them help do laundry. I was putting stuff in the laundry, they were putting stuff in the laundry. I was doing dishes, I would bring a chair over to the sink. Even if they didn't have something for them, like if I didn't have something for them to wash and do, I got something for them to wash and do, just so they could be a part. When I was cooking, I would sit them up on the counter. And I remember when I first had kids, I went to my friend's house, and now she has 10. But at the time, she had, I think, 4 or 5. And I remember her kids were up on the kitchen counter, like, standing while she was cooking, and I was like, oh my goodness, like, what is she doing? But I learned a lesson that her kids were one, and it's not because they were standing on the kitchen counter that she allowed that, but they loved her, and they watched her, and they listened to her, and they obeyed, and they had this special connection. And so I thought, okay, I need to put my kids up on the counter and have them cook with me. Now, I could never get to the point to let them stand on the counter and walk on the counter. It was a very safe, you know, you're sitting here, I'm right by you, I'm not going to walk away and let the child fall, okay? So don't do that. But having them take part in your cooking. You know, the other night, last night, we went to Anna's house, and she made dumplings, and it was so wonderful. And she was like, "Come on, do you want to make some?" I'm like, "Yeah." So I went over, and we were doing it together. You know when you do that with a friend and with someone else, and there's just this sweet community that happens between the two of you, that sweet fellowship, like we can have that same fellowship with our children. And it teaches them that. It gets them to learn how to do that. And then you start to see that with their friends as they grow, how they interact with others. So I went a little long on that, but I love, love, love the toddler years. Another thing I'm just going to share real quick that you start to do at the toddler years that I think is really important, and I believe a lot of people overlook this and don't find a need for this, but I think it's really crucial, is safety. You want to talk to your little ones about who is safe, who to trust, safe areas on, like, or unsafe areas on their body. Okay? You think, oh, why? It's just a little toddler. Because there's a bad world out there. And there's really, really bad people. And you want your kids to know you're safe and to talk to you about things. This does not mean you need to go into a long conversation with your toddler. Okay? These are just cute little conversations that you have. Like, oh, look how cute your dress is. Oh, we need to put shorts on under the dress so that way your underwear and your panties are covered because no one's supposed to see those. You know, like little things like that you can work on with them. And I think it's really overlooked and unfortunate. Okay, the elementary years. Okay, this is where you teach and you show examples to them. But then you also live out your examples. Now, you should still be living out your examples the other years, too. But this is the years where they're looking at mom and they're like, okay, is she just telling me it or is she doing it? And they're observing and they're going, mom just said to do this, but she didn't do it. I saw her do this other thing with her friend. Like, and they're weighing, like, okay, what is it that she's saying that, and you want to make sure you connect with that and talk to them. This is also where you want to speak to them and ask questions. With my kids, we have always homeschooled. So because of that, I have like this special bubble that my family is in and my children are in. And so I get to control where they go outside of this bubble. And we do a lot. We visit with a lot of people. So my children do leave the house, but I prepare them for things. But if your kids aren't like in this little bubble like mine, okay, and they're going to school, they're hearing a lot of things. They're hearing different conversations. They're getting different advice. They're learning a lot from other people. So it's important that you talk to them, that you have conversations with them, okay? Don't be so busy in life to where they're at school for 8 hours and then they come home and you don't have time for them. Because they are a gift from God to you. You need to make time for your kids. And if they're at school, you want to talk to them about what did you learn today? What are your friends doing? Is, you know, different conversations to bring up and discuss. Because if you start that now, it's going to be a building block for the future for your relationships with your kids. So I'm going to get into it with this next section, but there's two kind of curriculums that we've used. We've only used one with our kids. It's called Passport to Purity. There's another one called Passport to Identity. I haven't done that one, but I have done with all four of our kids Passport to Purity. Again, our family, we kind of had our kids a little more isolated. So we were able to talk to them about things more so than them hearing from others. But it is recommended if your kids are going to school and are around a lot of other kids that you do this program around the ages of 9 and 10. So the example for me, to give you an idea, is we did this with my son. He was 13. My first daughter was 11. My next daughter was 13. And we just did, for the last time, with our last daughter, she is 12. So that's the age difference. But I would really highly recommend, if you do a program like this, you do it earlier. To prepare them. Okay, preteen. Talk all the time. Okay? Help them to understand changes in their life. This is where hormones are starting to, like, change. And they're going through a lot of life changes. Because of their hormones changing, their emotions are affected. So all of a sudden they're hurt by something that they could care less about last week. They're hurt this week, either by you or by a friend or whatever, okay? Someone can look at them wrong and they'll get their feelings hurt, okay? This is because their body is growing. It's changing. These are the hormones that are going through them. So you just need to talk to them about it and walk with them through this change. And this is also, okay, another reason why it's good to talk at this time. Because they are getting ready to enter a stage where they are going to forget everything that you have ever taught them. Okay? So, top, top, top. Okay. Really quickly, passport to identity. These are the topics that it covers. It covers talking about independence, like transitioning into independence, being authentic in their manhood or womanhood, making their faith their own, and talks about relationships with others, friends, and other people. And it talks to them about who they are in their identity, what's their purpose in life. Okay? Again, I didn't do that one, but it seems great. The other one, which I did do with my kids, was passport to purity. This gets into talking about sex. This gets into talking about relationships with friends, peer pressure, pornography, all of these things. And these are topics that it is best to hear from you as the mom versus someone else. Those are two really good programs that we use. Okay, teen years. This is where you want to listen. You listen a lot. And make sure as much as you want to talk, you don't. And you try to listen as much as possible until they're done talking. And then pray about it in your head to the Holy Spirit and ask for help in what to say after. Okay? Because a lot of times, they want to just be able to talk and to get that out. And this is where they have many influences around them. Lots of friends, lots of different relationships, lots of pressures from the world. And they need to have a safe, good place to talk. And you want that to be you. Okay, so ask them questions. And always guide them to the Lord. Sometimes if they come to you and they're like, I did this and it was dumb and wrong and I'm so sorry, just remind them, like, you can apologize to me and I love you. You need to be talking with the Lord on this. So that way you're getting them prepared more so to having that relationship with Him directly as well. Okay? Also, okay, this is really, really important. I don't know why this happens, but at this age, they like to have really late night conversations. So this means that you're asleep or almost asleep in your bed, and it's probably 11 o'clock at night, and all of a sudden, Mom, are you awake? Mom, are you awake? Okay, so you need to take that time to get out of bed and go in and sit with them and just listen. Because I don't know how this works. I don't know why this works. But for some reason, this is when the most thinking that happens with them goes on. And this is when they want to talk. And if you constantly say over and over again, not now, not now, not now, they're going to stop knocking. And you don't want that. Okay. So I'm going to talk about the frontal lobe, okay? I don't know if any of you know what the frontal lobe is, but the frontal lobe is not, it's in our brain, okay, not fully developed until you are 25 years old, okay? So this is really important. The frontal lobe right here, okay, this is where it's responsible to control over our abilities, the way you think, how you move, how you remember things. It's the key part of your social skills. It helps you to understand and control how you talk, okay? How you behave and how you interact with others. Okay, remember, I'm talking about teenagers, and I'm going to go back to that. Remember, it's not fully developed till they are at least 25, okay? And then remember I said, like, they've already forgotten everything you've ever taught them as well. So in this time, their brain is not developed, and this is where they make special, crucial decisions, okay? They've forgotten everything you've taught them, and they believe they know everything, okay? So this is really an important time, because at this time, they're like, they are desiring to be independent. They're desiring to make these decisions. But their frontal lobe is not developed, okay? So remember that and pray for them, okay? And this is a growing time. This is why you answer your door at 11 at night. This is why you sit with them and talk to them. And this is why you have questions for them and have discussions. Okay, adulthood. I don't know, are any of you there in adulthood? Yes, okay, good. This is where you thought you prayed a lot for your kids, but you realize that you hadn't prayed a lot for your kids till your kids leave and they're out of the house, and you realize you are your kids' number one prayer warriors. And your most important job is to pray, pray, pray. When you get to this point too, you become their encouragers to encourage them. And you also start to transition to their friends. And it's a sweet, sweet point. Now, if you notice, that's the first time I said that you transition to their friend. So when they're a baby, you're not their friend. When they're a toddler, you're not their friend. When they're in elementary school, you're not their friend. When they're preteen, you're not their friend. When they're teenagers and they can't think, you're not their friend, okay? You grow into that. And that happens through growing and having the discussion and getting closer together, okay? Through time. Again, the frontal lobe. Okay, now we're talking about adults. But remember, it doesn't get developed until they're at least 25 years old, okay? So they're going to be out of the house. You're going to be praying. They're going to be making decisions that aren't good, okay? But they're on their own. You don't really have control at all, okay? So this is where you love them as adults. You encourage them. And when they mess up and make a really bad decision, you're there for them. And they see that. And they know that you're always there. Okay, so how can we practice this and do this today, wherever you are in life, whatever stage you're at, okay? Do what you say. We say practice what you preach. What was it? I think when I was growing up, my mom would say, do what I say, not what I do. Don't do that. That's not good. Whatever you say, do. And practice that. Listen to your child and let them know that you love them regardless of their actions. Okay? Now, how can we refocus if we've lost it, if we've thrown down the towel? Okay? Here's some tips. There's three ways, and I believe this is in your book. Yeah. So perspective, prayer, and peers. Now, have any of you ever lost it? Yeah. Okay, me too. So this is what happens to me. I don't know how it works with you guys, but I become like a really scary mom. And I think my face becomes green. It transforms. Something happens to my eyes. My voice changes. And I become like a monster. Okay? And it's scary. So, when that happens, and it probably will, and that's okay, because you'll get through it, this is what you need to do. You need to take a little walk or walk away. Depending how old your kids are, this is either easier or not as easy, okay? When Jocelyn was a toddler and she transformed into a monster, I would have to sometimes put her in her room, close the door, and walk away, okay? That is safe for her. It was better for her for me to walk away. Take some time, and one, going back to that list, get my perspective. How do I need to respond to this situation? what's happening. Then I need to pray. Lord, help me, please. I can't do this on my own. We're going to get into discipline in later weeks, but it is so important to not discipline out of anger or frustration. It's more important for you to walk away, take a breather, ask God for help, and then go back and take care of the situation, okay? So I have here, get a heart check. That's get your perspective. Then go to the Lord. So what I would do is I would go to my kids after I took a breather. And this would happen in two different ways. One, I would go to them when I was first a mom, I was learning all of this. Okay? So I would already become the monster, and then I had to go talk to them afterwards. Okay? But as I started to apply this to my life, I would sometimes not become a monster. I would see how they really irritated me, and I'd walk away to get my perspective, pray to the Lord, and then talk to them. Okay? So this is what I would do. If I became a monster, okay, I would go in and sit with them, face eye to eye, and I would say that I was wrong. Okay? If they were like toddler, elementary, younger, I'd say, you know, mommy shouldn't have done that, and I'm sorry. Will you forgive me for that? And usually they do. I don't think they ever haven't. But even when they're older, a teenager, I apologize. And I say, I really messed up. And I'm really sorry for my actions. They were not right. Now, in both those situations, I would say, your actions were not right either. And how I responded was wrong. But I still need to discipline you. Because what you did was not right. What you did was wrong. But I love you, and you need to know I love you, but I love God. And God wants me to tell you that I'm sorry, to ask for your forgiveness, and make things right. And because of God's love for me and you, I need to set things straight, and I also need to discipline you. And I would always discipline my kids. I would tell them why they're in trouble, just in case they forgot. They already usually knew the consequence, so I would remind them, this was a choice that you made. Because you made this choice, this is the result, okay? For my house, it was a spanking. I was the scary mom that walked around with a wooden spoon in my back pocket, okay? And I didn't just have, this is a little extra for you, I didn't just have a wooden spoon in my pocket. I had one in my purse, and I had one in my car. Because when we would drive somewhere and we get ready to go to the grocery store, I'd show them the spoon, and I'd say, okay, we're going to go inside. You know how you need to behave. So if you don't behave how you're supposed to behave, you're going to, oh, we called it Mr. Pow Pow. So I say, you're going to talk to Mr. Pow Pow afterwards. And then, so usually my kids were really great in the store and stuff. But, and out and about. Because they saw that wooden spoon, they're like, okay, I know the consequence. I don't want to go there. So that's how we did it in my house. But I would always say, okay, so you know you made this choice. This is the consequence. So I'm sorry. I need to discipline you. But I love you. And at that point, it was usually a discussion, and they're like, okay. And so I would discipline, and I'd always give them a hug after and tell them I love them. So that is one of the examples that I did. I'm not teaching on discipline. Somebody else is probably lucky for you. I was very much like I'm a strict mom, but at that same time, I have absolutely amazing kids. And so if you have any questions about that, you can ask. I'm going to close today with a poem. It's from Douglas Phillips, and it's called The Cost of Motherhood. There is a cost of motherhood, and the price is no small sum. And if you are not willing to pay this price, no amount of encouragement about the joys of motherhood will satisfy. But the price of motherhood is not fundamentally different from the price of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. In fact, Christian mothers see their duty as mothers flowing from their calling to Jesus Christ. And what is this cost? Christian motherhood means dedicating your entire life in service of others. It means following Him and investing in the lives of children whom you hope will both survive you and surpass you. It means foregoing present satisfaction of eternal rewards. It means investing in the lives of others who may never fully appreciate your sacrifice or comprehend the depth of your love. And it means doing all these things not because you will receive praise of man, for you will not, but because God made you to be a woman and a mother. And there is a great contentment in that biblical calling. In other words, motherhood requires vision. It requires living by faith, not by sight. These are some of the reasons why motherhood is both the most biblically noble and the most socially unappreciated role to which a young woman can aspire. There are many people who ask the question, does my life matter? But a mother that fears the Lord need never ask such a question. Under her faithful obedience hinges the future of the church and the hope of the nation. So I will just close in prayer, and then we'll start our table of questions. And there's snacks over there, too, you can bring to the table. Father, thank you so much for this time together. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for these ladies, Father. I pray, Father, you would just continue to speak to them and encourage them, Lord. And Lord, I just pray most of all that every single woman here online and those that might watch later, Father, that they would know how precious they are in your sight. And they would know that their purpose is good and that you would guide them through that, Father. I thank you for the blessing of all of our children, Lord, and the blessing of being a mom. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.